Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ben Standing is with us, as he is every Monday and Friday at 12 noon. We've made it through the NFL draft. 9 new players, a lot more in terms of undrafted free agent signings after the draft. Washington's got a lot of new players on this roster, and now the countdown to actual games. Yes, there are mini camps. Yes, there are OTAs. Yes, there are games to be played in the summer around training camp. But it will be September of 2024 when we really start to learn what they've done here in the offseason. But with that said, we will start with Ben and just kind of get, now that it's completed, what some of your big takeaways were. And I'll just start with this, based on kind of where they picked him and where he was projected, who was the biggest value pick for Washington of the 9 that they selected?
Yeah, I had to go through this exercise for the sort of the templated story that I wrote after day 3, and it was a question. It was sort of hard because like it didn't feel like any of their picks were like, wow, they got this guy in the 4th round, and people were projecting him in the 2nd. But I think like a guy like Johnny Newton, like in the mock draft world, Denton can attest. Like some people had him going like 21 to the Dolphins as a replacement for Christian Wilkins. Others would have said early 2nd. So I don't know that he was like great value per se, but that said, clearly some teams really liked him a lot as a player. He was viewed as the number 2 defensive tackle in the draft. And, to me, we've talked about this a lot here over the course of the last 2 or 3 months, including with free agency and the draft. Washington's plan was not to put together a roster that was going to contend in 2024. It was to put together a roster that was credible for this year and set them up moving forward to get more aggressive down the line. This draft with that pick emphasized this was a best player available approach. Every single position they addressed in the draft was a need, but was defensive tackle for 2024 the bigger need over other positions? Of course not. But for 2025, absolutely, because John Allen's contract is up in the air. And I think that was, for those who still haven't understood that, I think that pick should have been the hammer to the head that said, we're trying to get the best players. If you go for need too much, you may be taking a lesser player to address an issue. Well, here's the, after other than quarterback, once they took Daniels and maybe running back, every single position on the team was a need. So I thought that was, again, value may be a little much because he was viewed in that range, but clearly was a guy that had a lot of fans. A lot of people thought he would go in the 1st round.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's a point that I think much of the fan base now understands. That pick was the one, and right when they made it on Friday night, Denton and I both said, that is best player on the board. Although, to be fair, and you just pointed this out, other than quarterback after Daniels and maybe running back, every position was a need because they only have two starters and it's a rotational position to begin with, and we know what John Allen's contract status is. Do you have a sense at all after Jaden Daniels who they're most excited about?
Nah, it's one of those deals where it's like, you know, they're all your kids, can't pick your favorite. You know, I mean, I'm sure obviously just in general in terms of what imagining what a roster can do, the guys in the second round are going to give you more juice than the guy in the seventh. But, you know, I think for each, you know, each round is its own story and each, you know, so I don't know. I mean, like in general, leading into the draft, Mike Sanders, still the cornerback from Michigan, you heard a lot of people saying that's like my favorite player. Like, I love this guy. We heard Nick Saban on the broadcast, the ESPN broadcast, say, you know, pound for pound, he might be the best player in the draft. I mean, we're talking about a 5'9", buck 80 corner, but it just gave that Michigan team so much life, not just good play, but being a leader and all that. So, you know, to a certain degree, maybe him, because it feels like that's like one of those picks that's both a talent play as well as a culture play. So perhaps him, but, you know, I'm sure they would, you know, the earlier picks obviously have more excitement, but beyond that, I don't know if any one pick was, you know, had them going more jazz than the other one.
I mean, they did. He did admit, Peters did admit that they looked to move up to get Johnny Newton because they didn't think he'd fall to 36.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like I said, I mean, a guy who, you know, could have been a first, you know, like we all were believing, and I think accurately, that if they're going to trade up into the first round, it would have been for an offensive tackle. But if they had traded up just purely based on talent, clearly sounds like Newton would have been a guy that they would have been happy with. So yeah, obviously, you know, again, the top guys at your draft are going to be the ones you get more excited about for the potential than, you know, a special teams linebacker you take on day three. Sure.
What do you think they see in Brandon Coleman, a tackle guard combination of both, and how far down the road before they think he'll be ready?
Well, I mean, definitely a tackle. I mean, that's what they presented him as. Some in the league view him better at guard, but they clearly stated he was a tackle. I think from an athletic perspective, he's really impressive in that regard. And the question will be, I guess, similar to the ones we had with Brandon Scherff and Sam Cosmi, is just ultimately, you know, does he work out at tackle? It's one of those things where it's like it can be a fairly high floor kind of a pick, because as we again saw with those other two guys, you can transition them into guard if it doesn't work. But they are saying they're looking at him as tackle. And, you know, again, everybody has their own opinions on this, but in talking to people around the league post-draft, I didn't really hear too many issues about that pick, viewing him as a tackle. Some say, again, they prefer him a guard, but not impossible that he'd be a tackle. So, you know, I think obviously the question is, how close is he to playing, you know, meaningful snaps in an NFL game at tackle? That's what the offseason program is all about for them to figure out. So there's that. But, you know, when people say they didn't draft a tackle, that's not how they see it. Whether they're right, ultimately, you know, time will tell.
Right. And there was likely an attempt to draft a tackle higher in the draft, but couldn't pull it off. We don't know why they couldn't pull it off. We just have to assume that either, you know, the team wanted too much or there wasn't a team willing to do it with them.
The you know, we talk about groupthink. We talked a lot about that during this whole coaching search and the quarterback conversation. You know, the left tackle spot is another example where groupthink is just like people get an opinion in their head and can never shake it. Certainly, if you were putting together a roster, left tackle is a very important position, right? Nobody argues that. But to the degree that people wanted Washington to trade multiple picks, give up a kidney, sell the naming rights to the stadium, whatever it was to get this position, is so insane to me. Like, I keep arguing with people on Twitter, which is puts me in the insane category as well for doing that. I agree. But I'm like, look, if you want to guarantee that they could have got one of those tackles, then you have to give up your 2025 first round pick. You do that, you guarantee to trade up. No argument. If you're willing to do that, well, then good for you, because I think Dan Snyder and David Tepper would do that too. I wouldn't, knowing that this team is probably going to have a top 10 pick next year. We just saw what happened with Carolina when they got over-aggressive and traded away a first-round pick to turn into the number one pick. They need a left tackle. I don't think anybody argues that, or at least there are questions about it, right? But everything has a price, and they decided, I presume, that in trying to move up for a couple of these tackles, you know, in the back half of the first round, that either the price wasn't for them or, and this is an important notion that people don't want to listen to,
right,
the other teams may not have wanted to trade out. I know it's crazy that they should just do what Washington wants because you want them to snap your fingers and say, get a tackle. But, like, the other teams have their own agendas. I actually do think that the Commanders probably got screwed a bit because when the first 14 picks are all offense, right, and a lot, and some of those were tackles, and then the tackles keep getting pushed up, I think if it had been a more reasonable split, like, you know, 16 offense, 16 defense, like, you know, kind of like normal, you know, more reasonable view, I think then it's probably a decent chance that one of these tackles is sitting there at 36, or at least, you know, maybe you trade up three spots at the end of the first or the beginning of the second. They were having to look into trading up into the teams to get something done because the run on tackles went pretty hard. And, you know, I think in a normal year, you probably get that pushback. But in a year where apparently the league didn't like the defensive guys, you know, that became less of an option.
Real quickly, who do you think they wanted in the first round? You think it was Mims or Morgan?
I was told it was three things. One, I was told they tried to trade into the teens. If that's true, then that was probably for Mims. The Bengals were, you know, you never can say for sure, but the Bengals took Mims, and that was sort of a logical landing spot. So you probably had to trade up in front of 18 to get a guy who has, like, insane upside but only had 8 career starts. From there, Morgan, I was told, was somebody they wanted. I think Tyler Guyton himself, if I saw this correctly on Twitter, said that he was told that the Commanders and Patriots both tried to trade up for him. He ends up going to Dallas after Dallas traded back. So, you know, I don't know if they were that indiscriminate that they were looking at three different guys and willing to take any of them. So who can say? I don't know for sure, but those were the three names that, you know, I heard slash would make the most sense.
You know, the pick right before Johnny Newton at 35, the Falcons picked a defensive tackle as well, a Clemson defensive tackle. I'm wondering if Johnny Newton had gone to Atlanta in the pick right before their pick, do you think either DeGene or McKinstry was a possibility there? I mean, do you have any idea what would have come at 36 had Newton not been there?
No. You know, I could speculate all day long, but clearly they like Sanders still. We heard Saban praise him. I've had other people say, like, somebody else told me that they thought Sanders still was, like, basically their favorite cornerback in the whole class, including guys that went in the first round. So I kind of imagine that why, and, like, you know, Peter having discussed this, my brain is smushed, but I think he discussed this as well. But, like, at the Michigan Pro Day where Washington was there to watch, you know, in theory, J.J. McCarthy, that apparently Sanders still just absolutely blew everybody away. Like, not just as in the defensive drills, that he was running routes for McCarthy.
Yeah.
And was, like, somebody told me he was easily the best receiver on the field in a draft where Michigan had guys get drafted at receiver. So something tells me they felt they knew where he would go off the board and would have waited for him rather than taking DeGene or McKinstry. But, you know, again, in a best player available situation, like, you could literally anybody who went in that range, and I'd be like, okay, sure, I kind of get it.
Talking to Ben Standig here, Monday following 3 days of the NFL draft, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 9 picks, several undrafted free agents. So what stood out from that list to you?
Well, you got to start with the quarterback, right? I mean, you know, yes, while technically Sam Hartman wasn't drafted, I definitely was saying, like, I won't be surprised at all if they draft a second quarterback, in part because of the nature of the position. Again, when you're looking ahead to 2025, other than Jaden Daniels, none of the other quarterbacks that were on the roster are going to be here next year, most likely, right? Not Mariota, not Driscoll, not Jake Fromm. So you need, you know, you always need to make sure you have options there. And, you know, a quarterback that goes undrafted, you know, you can't look at that and say, oh, he could be the next thing. No. Right. Quarterbacks who go undrafted, that's very rarely a scenario where people say, you know, it turns into something good. Of course, like Brock Purdy was essentially an undrafted free agent as the literal last player in the draft a couple of years ago, and he's turned into what he's turned into. But, you know, I mean, I think that one is probably the most interesting. Everybody else, like, you know, this cornerback from Colorado State, whose name I don't have in front of me, they gave a pretty huge signing bonus to, and his measurables and his 40 time were really impressive. And that's a room where, you know, after the first four-ish guys, like, it's kind of open, right? So you know, if you guys have the name there, apologies for not having off the top of my head. But
yeah, it's the kid Anusim or something like that. Yeah.
So like that one's interesting. You know, but again, we're talking about a guy who went undrafted, so it's interesting to see. And you know, in other years, we might be like, well, you know, undrafted free agents, we'll see. For this team, I think everything is fairly open from a roster perspective. So, you know, I one of the exercises that I want to do this week is sit down and go look at the roster now and see, you know,
all 53 coming.
Well, maybe something like that, but at least see, like, okay, let's just see now where are the positions where, you know, like running back, for example. Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, Chris Rodriguez. Sometimes they only keep three. That could be the whole room right there. We can call it a day. They did add a couple of undrafted free agents, including a running back from USC, which you would logically think has some Cliff Kingsbury influence. So maybe that's something to watch. I think it's Austin Jones, I want to say. But, you know, that to me is always interesting. You never want to draft a player into a spot where there's no room. I don't think they did that. But beyond that, then, you know, where, you know, who are some vets that might be possibly in trouble, you know, again, months away from training camp, and then, you know, where some of these undrafted guys possibly have an opportunity.
Talking to Ben, so what's your reaction to, you know, the relative athletic score number? Washington, based on that relative athletic score, had the best draft. The number of team captains that were selected in this draft. Just the absolute overwhelming gushing praise for this draft. Where do you come in on that?
You've probably looked at more of the broad reaction than I have. I felt like I saw some people question it largely because of the tackle situation. But yes, in terms of things like the team captain's angle was something we wrote about last week. We did a story about the guide to Adam Peters at the draft, understanding what they look for, and San Fran, and he was very adamant on getting team captains with the 49ers, and certainly that played out here. That's obviously a leadership culture, you know, locker room chemistry type of deal. The athletic testing, sure. I mean, needless to say, having good athletes is typically a pretty good idea. The question is, you know, what's the mental component there, right? I mean, I was just watching the 76ers play yesterday, and I'm sure Kelly Oubre tests off the charts athletically, but he's never been a high IQ basketball player, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so that's all relative. But again, I guess that's where that goes in with the captain thing, right? If you're highly athletic and you were a captain, right, that seems like a pretty good combination. But sure, I mean, I think it's pretty good. Like I think what's so weird to me about the criticism that, and I know you're saying broadly it's not, and maybe I'm too
weird. I mean, I think I counted more A's and A pluses for this draft from, you know, those people willing to step out and grade the draft a few days after it. I mean, there were a lot of positive grades of the 2020 draft. Lots of them. Lots of A's, B's, B pluses.
The general reason I mean, beyond the fact that we can't grade a draft for 3 to 5 years for the obvious reasons, let's see. But the reason why I don't put too much stock in these grades is that it's all based on the person who's grading them's view of the players. If you think Johnny Newton was great, well, then that's a great pick. If you think Johnny Newton, what was the point? Then that wasn't good, right? If you think Luke McCaffrey really helps them because they didn't have a slot receiver, they needed some more size, and you had him ranked high, great. But if you were one of the people that had him ranked on your board around like 150, which I saw pre-draft, then you probably don't think it's great. So that's why those things are kind of like, but like in general, they have a ton of needs. Every single pick addressed one of them. Like I said, by and large, it was hard to view like what was the best value. Simultaneously, it was hard to view like what was the biggest reach. I mean, maybe Ben Sinnott would be that one. I know our guy Dane Brugler had him as like his sixth rated tight end with a fourth round grade. He goes in the second, but Daniel Jeremiah had him ranked, I think, sort of top 50 player, and others I've spoken with, you know, like that pick as well. So it's all relative to what they had, but based on the lists that are out there, it is not surprising to me that Washington scored high, because again, it didn't seem like there was any like massive reaches or anything. And most of the players were in the range of where people had them projected. Like, one perfect example is Brandon Coleman, you know, some questions there. What is he going to be? My guy, Dane Brugler, rated him the number 66 prospect. They took him at number 67. So when I read Dane's write up about his favorite drafts and Washington was in the top 10, he noted, well, see, I like that guy.
They agreed with me.
You're a Brandon Coleman guy?
No, I just said they agreed with me.
They agreed,
so they had a good draft.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, so that's why those things I think are always, like with a lot of the draft conversation, it's cute, it's fine, it's fun, doesn't always mean much. And this would be, I think, in general, an example of that.
All right, so that leads me to this. Back to the offensive line, because I do think that is the one pushback area with this draft. Everybody else seems to be just thrilled, and adults are in charge, and they know what they're doing, and they've got a plan, and that sounded like Vinny. And this, you know, there's reason to celebrate, many people believe, after this weekend. But the offensive line is still a big question. So what comes next? What does the post-draft free agent market for offensive linemen look like?
Yeah, and just wanted to say, like, part of my frustration over the last 48 hours with the left tackle talk is that it is so narrow-minded. The offensive line has questions. One position is not the question. I mean, we're just going with Nick Allegretti as the guy. He was a backup in Kansas City. He did play in the Super Bowl. He played admirably with a significant injury. But I'm just saying, it's not Russ Grimm that we know of. And Andrew Wiley was clearly, I think he was better as the season went along. And, but like, again, it's not John Jansen at right tackle. So I think they have three spots where it's a question versus everybody's yelling that they didn't get a left tackle. I think that part is where it's misguided. But in terms of what's left, yeah, I mean, look, here's what I would say in general. There's obviously, when you get to a certain point in free agency, it becomes a buyer's market, and teams decide, you know what, we'd rather wait, rather than pay this individual this kind of money, we would rather wait, see what the draft offers us, and then come back. Mekhi Becton would have been a guy who people were saying right after the draft, hey, that's somebody Washington should go get. He ends up signing a one-year deal to be the backup tackle in Philadelphia. Now, I was told that was in part because he wants to work with the Eagles O-line coach, who's viewed as like the best guy in the league and blah, blah, blah. I would imagine he's taking a starting job for comparable money if available. So it leads me to assume that there probably weren't or none, no situations that he liked. And that's one of the guys who is viewed as one of the better options available in free agency. The fallacy that Washington should have dealt with this when real free agency started is so silly. This was a really bad year for tackles. The one that was considered the best was Tyron Smith, who is so obviously historic career. He's so unreliable from a health perspective. The Jets spent the 11th pick in the draft partly on to ensure they had a backup should he get hurt, and that was the best guy. So there's guys like DJ Humphries out there. I know people keep mentioning Charles Leno. That not only is that not an option because you don't bring a guy back, but I don't think we know Leno's even going to continue playing after hip surgery and the career that he's had. So don't think about him. But they're really not. I mean, anybody who's less out there at this point is relatively a jag, right? A guy that, like, sure, you know, sort of like when Washington signed Donald Penn a few years ago when Trent Williams was holding out. I mean, you know, I don't know that there's people out there who are definitively so much better than Cornelius Lucas that it's going to make a massive difference. There's no savior out there. People who think that it is the case are just wrong. So, you know, they're guys. We'll see if they decide they need to get one. Like, I don't know who the third tackle. Wait, who's the third tackle? Am I forgetting someone? If it's not Brandon Coleman just because he's a rookie,
Trent Scott.
You know.
Trent Scott.
Okay, so I'm saying, like, could you do better than Trent Scott? Yes. Could you do better than Cornelius Lucas? I mean, maybe, I guess. I would say, like, you know, a guy like Humphreys, who was with the Cardinals, right, and he was there when Cliff Kingsbury was there, like, that type of connection I could see maybe being like, I know this guy as the OC, let's bring him in, if assuming that Kingsbury thought, you know, he was good. So if there's a connection to Kingsbury or Peters or Quinn, I get that. Beyond that, you know, somebody tell me what the better plan that they should have done at this point, going back to free agency, and I will submit that that's what they should have done. I have not seen that plan. I don't know what that plan was. So
there's going to be another off season probably to go before we can seriously consider contention for a Super Bowl, at least one more. So this is hopefully a big foundation draft, but only time will tell. Thanks. Appreciate it as always.
Always a pleasure. See ya.
There is some interesting NFL news with a team within the division, which I will talk about when we come back. But also, your chance now, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What'd you like, what didn't you like from the Washington draft? Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So the Cowboys have signed Zeke Elliott. Zeke Elliott returning to Dallas on a one-year deal. Maximum value of $3 million on that. But Zeke Elliott, the Cowboys have a major running back question mark, right? They lost Pollard last year. They don't have anybody but the kid from K-State who played with Ben Sinnott and Will Howard, the quarterback there, Deuce Vaughn, who got picked by the Cowboys in last year's fifth round. But other than Rico Dowdle, who was, you know, an effective player for them, they didn't have an actual legit running back. So they have brought Zeke Elliott in Dallas. So that's some breaking NFL news today. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What did you like? What didn't you like? What are the questions you have about what they did over the weekend? Take your calls right now. Phone lines are open, and we'll start with Chris in Annapolis. Chris, go ahead. Chris, you there? I can't hear Chris.
Me neither.
Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Kev. I'm not ready to give Adam GM of the year already, as you pointed out, but I'm sure happy with what he accomplished.
Yeah, I pointed out that somebody sent me a tweet about that. I didn't agree with it. Yes.
I know. And I'm with you is what I'm saying, and versus the tweeter. Anyway, what did I like? I liked that their BPA approach, and obviously when they picked Newton at the top of the second round, best player available. And it aligned beautifully with what we needed. I mean, I thought going into the offseason, our four biggest needs were a starting quarterback, a starting versatile left tackle, a starting versatile tight end, and a starting corner. And we got all of those in the top three rounds, if, in fact, Coleman proves to be, and it's a big if, but if he proves to be prepared to be our left tackle, that's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. I also, one other thing I liked is that the pick we got from Chase Young brought us back to McCaffrey. There's no doubt McCaffrey's love to play football, okay? I found it very ironic that the Chase Young pick led to Luke McCaffrey coming to the team, so very excited about that. But what I did like...
The Luke McCaffrey thing is interesting to me because I'm going to tell you, I did not know much about Luke McCaffrey. I did not watch a lot of Rice football, even though Rice was not bad this year and they covered a bunch. I can tell you that much, but I had no idea why they were covering. But when you watched highlights, you saw a football player. You saw a guy that, you know, is a good route runner, has phenomenal hands, phenomenal instincts, and he's not small. You know, he's got some height to him and some reach to him.
Like the old man, Kev.
Yeah, not that tall. The old man was what? What was Ed? How tall was Ed?
He was about the same size. Honestly, when I see Luke, I see Ed. They're very similar.
Yeah, I think Ed was a lot taller, though.
Completely different.
Ed
I'm looking it up now because I thought Ed was a lot taller.
Ed is 6'5".
Ed was 6'5".
Okay, so a shorter, easy Ed, but I think he's got a lot of talent. Lastly, what I didn't like was the fear that picking Newton suggests once more the Marty party, and Ron blew it with the Mathis pick. We'll see, but Mathis has just been – Big Phil has been a complete disappointment. And then just the last thing, again, and if Coleman pans out, this isn't something I didn't like, but just the overall roster building to this point, I thought they played it too fast and loose in free agency at left tackle. I really thought we should have gotten a better left tackle. And because right now we're down in the Fannel's basement trying to pick over the leftovers. And I don't know. We need Coleman to hit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, again, and I meant to get into this with Ben a little bit, but I actually wonder what they really think of what they have on the roster, Cornelius Lucas in particular. Because my guess is, not just because he's actually under contract, my guess is that Andrew Wiley probably graded out a lot better than most of our fans think from last year.
Hey, and I thought Lucas, last thing, I thought Lucas was better than Leno. I truly did. I thought Big Luke was better at left tackle. So I have no problem if they have to start out with Luke until Coleman's ready.
Thanks for the call, Kev. As always, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What'd you like from the draft? What didn't you like? Any other thoughts, questions? Phone lines are open. Let's go to Frank. Frank's calling from Charlotte. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll make it quick. I'll stay on task and be coachable like you want us to be.
That's okay.
As far as what I liked the film prevailed on Daniels. The league spoke. I mean, I'm telling you right now, and I like what Adam said. It was Daniels the whole time. So obviously, I like that. I like the guy, the DB from Michigan. I think he's a great steal. Oh my goodness, He is unbelievable. When I first saw his height, I was like, oh, man, I don't know about this guy. But then I started watching some of the actual highlights. This guy is unbelievable. And then, of course, I like Sennett, the tight end. I think he's going to end up being the starter before the year's out. And that linebacker from Texas Tech, I forgot his name. I can't think of his name. He's a we drafted him late, I think.
You're talking about from Temple. They drafted Jordan McGee from Temple.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Temple, yes. And then what I didn't like is the overrated, talking about this RAS score stuff. I think that's blown out of proportion. I really do, because Benjamin St. Juice had a high RAS score when they drafted him. And so I just think that was really, really overrated. Tell me your thoughts on that, Kevin.
I think a lot of those things, it's really good information. I prefer, you know, drafting speed and athleticism to players that don't have speed and athleticism when all things are equal. I think this is a league where week in and week out you see super fast and athletic teams, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and then at wide receiver, be very difficult with the rules being what they are to sort of defend. So I was fine and felt like that's great that Washington ended up with the highest RAS score. Again, for those of you that don't know what that means, it's raw, you know, athletic, relative athletic score. It's a relative athletic score. I mean, things like, you know, there's height, weight, those kinds of things factored into it, but 40 time, 20 time, the 10 yard benchmarks, verticals, broads, shuttles, cones, all those things are factored into a relative athletic score. Let me just tell you real quickly, the guy that invented the relative athletic score is going to be on the show tomorrow at 11 a.m. I actually called them up because I think a lot of people saw Washington had the highest relative athletic score of any team's draft in the league. And we'll get him to kind of talk through it. But more importantly, what it's meant historically when teams have been really high up on that RAS list. Lap, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Kevin? Hey,
how
man, I'm cool with the draft. I think we need to redress the right tackle, though. But left tackle. But I like the pick. I like the pick so far. So I'm cool with everything. I'm really excited about Jalen. You know, that's who I wanted because I was upset about the Angel Reese and not getting a chance to get Wembanyama, you know, so I'm happy with this. So we'll see what they gonna
do. Hold on, I didn't follow what you just said there at the end. Angel Reese and Wembanyama, what?
Yeah, I wanted us to have a chance to get them by us kind of tanking this season. We should have did that last season, especially
particularly
when we blew Boston out last.
Where does the Angel Reese thing fit in?
Because she was picked right after our pick for Minnesota.
I didn't know that. For the Mystics.
Yeah. So I was like, we got to hit on something like a talented pick with one of these major teams. And then I was upset with Ted because I'm kind of putting him in the ballpark with Dan. And, you know, trying to take our team away from us, you know, our teams away from us and sneaking the move to Virginia. Like, come on, man. Like,
right.
So something got to give, man. Something got to give. So I'm excited about the Jaden Daniels. I know you were sold on him too, Kevin. So if we can address that right tackle, left tackle, whatever, I think we'll be fine. And you know, hopefully we can build and compete, you know, for the future. But I'm excited about it. And
thanks,
Luke. What's Luke That's Christian McCaffrey, brother. I didn't know that. So I'm excited about him, too. Yeah.
All right, Lap. Good call, as always. Appreciate it, man. When we come back, I want to look at the other teams in the division and what they did. More about philosophically what they thought about their own rosters. We'll do that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
NHL playoffs cap season has come to a close. They lose to the Rangers 4-2. That means a sweep. First time they've gotten swept in over 10 years. Last time was 2011. Nats get their third win over the Marlins, third in a row. That's a win streak. 12-9. They've scored 23 runs in their last two games. They finished the series with the Marlins today in Miami at 6:40. You can hear it on 106.7 The Fan. Timberwolves sweep the Suns, winning game 4, 122-116. Anthony Edwards had 40 for the T-Wolves. Devin Booker had 49 for Phoenix. Brad Beal, well, he had 9. Dallas has agreed to bring back Ezekiel Elliott as their new running back one. Elsewhere in the NFL, both Boomer Esiason and Phil Sims out on the NFL Today set. Matt Ryan moving into the chair, joining Nate Burleson, Coach Coward, J.J. Watt, and, of course, James Brown. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
So I wanted to mention a couple of things about the other teams in the division. Caveat, who the hell knows how this will play out. But there are a couple of players that were picked by some of the teams in the division. And there's a couple of things that, you know, one team did in particular that really reflects a difficult situation for them. But I'm going to start with Philadelphia. You know, I think Philadelphia overall has had a really good offseason. That was a team that tanked coming down the stretch. They really struggled. Defensively, they were an atrocious team, which was not the expectation, but it was really because of the back end more than anything else. They're going to have, you know, three new players in their secondary to go with Darius Slay and Avante Maddox being back this year. But they drafted two corners. They drafted, Quinyon Mitchell in the first round from Toledo. And then they were able to in the trade with Washington, and that'll be one of those trades you'll look back. You know, Washington traded back. They ended up taking, Ben Sinnott and at 50. They took – who did they take at 50? Why am I blanking? Who did they take at 50? Yeah. Thanks for the help, Denton. I'm blanking on who they just took. They took Mikey Sainstrill, and then they took Sinnott with the Philadelphia picks, and Philadelphia took Cooper DeJean. They took two corners in the top 40 players in the draft. And then they drafted one of my favorite players in the draft, Denton. They drafted Will Shipley, the running back from Clemson. This is a dude that runs so hard and so physically. I'm surprised he lasted until the fourth round. Now, you know, they brought in Saquon Barkley, obviously, in free agency. They had Gainwell left after losing Swift. But you're going to see a lot of Will Shipley on the field for Philadelphia over the next few years, especially if Saquon Barkley can't stay healthy. I think when you look at what they've done defensively in their secondary and free agency and perhaps in the draft, and then adding Barkley offensively. By the way, they just signed Mekhi Becton to back up, you know, whether it's Mailata or Lane Johnson, you know, adding depth to that offensive line. I think Philadelphia's had a good offseason. The Giants tried, and we know they tried, to trade up to number three with New England to take Drake May. They were unable to pull it off. That is a dysfunctional situation, perhaps, in the upcoming season. You know, they lost the best player on their team, without question, in Saquon Barkley. They replaced him with Devin Singletary. They have, you know, tried to upgrade that offensive line. They added Malik Nabers. Some people think the best, you know, receiver in the draft. I personally like Rome Odunze after Marvin Harrison Jr., even more than Nabers. But the entire organization knows that they tried to replace Daniel Jones. They brought in Drew Locke, and they brought in Devin Singletary. You know, that's essentially it in the backfield, quarterback and running back. And then Dallas overall added an offensive lineman, which they had to have. They picked Marshawn Nealon there at D-line, but Dallas, because of their constraints and what they couldn't do in free agency, they're going to need contributors in a big way from this draft. I mean, Tyler Guyton, whether he is ready or not, you've got to look at him if you're a Cowboys fan and say, need him to start. You know, don't have Teron Smith anymore. You know, you've got on that other side, you've got, what's his face? Terrence Steele or Tyler Smith, the kid from Tulsa. You know, you've got Zach Martin still on that offensive line. You've got weapons in CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, of course. And you've got, you know, a running, but you don't have a running back. They just brought Zeke Elliott back. Dallas still should be excellent defensively in the upcoming season. And it's not like Dan Quinn wasn't replaced with a guy that's really proven to be a big-time, you know, defensive brain in Mike Zimmer. But I think Philadelphia has done a really nice job. It's hard to look at Washington and not say it's a new day, so things are going to be done differently and encouraging. But man, the Giants overall, Denton, you know, that situation is going to be interesting. Best player on their field gone, and you got a situation in which the quarterback who was knocked out last year comes back. They gave him a receiver. We'll see how it goes, but he knows they wanted to move on from him.
I'm just upset that Malik Nabers, who you and I both loved, is now going to be a bust. Sucks to happen that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
Also,
what else stood out to you from the division?
Don't you find it funny that, like, the Zeke Elliott thing is happening, like the return of Zeke Elliott? The Cowboys are so bad at getting running backs, and it's not like there weren't good running backs in the NFL draft that they have to go back to the well with what is now a broken down Zeke Elliott. That offense, they are setting Dak Prescott. They must hate him. I don't know what he did to Jerry Jones, but Jerry Jones seemingly does not like Dak Prescott because they are setting that dude up for failure.
He's not trying to set him up for failure. He's trying to create some sort of incentive year for him and McCarthy. Like, this is it. You guys either get to the postseason, you win another 12 games, but you win two playoff games this year, or we're going to start all over. The problem is, if they get to that point with Dak, they don't have control. You know, they don't have control. They got a big salary cap hit, but they don't have control. He's got the control because he'll go into unrestricted free agency.
They got Trey Lance, though.
They got Trey Lance. They do have that. They've got him as a backup. I still think overall from the draft this weekend, I thought the first round actually was very exciting, obviously, with the quarterbacks. But ultimately, I still can't figure out, and I've listened to people who have had a dissenting opinion, like Dan Orlovsky absolutely insists that the Falcons did the right thing. But I think what you're going to see change in the future is that you can't get past free agency when you've spent $100 million on a quarterback and then fall in love with a quarterback that is absolutely attainable based on where you're drafting. The Falcons would have never signed Kirk Cousins to that deal if they had realized how good Michael Penix, or how much they were going to love Michael Penix Jr. before the combine, before, you know, pro days, before their top 30 visits. Somehow, some way, teams are going to have to learn from this experience, because it's absolutely ass backwards. You don't draft a quarterback number 8 overall after you've paid $100 million to a quarterback to try to win now. They needed to identify that before the process started, period. And they weren't able to do it because it's not the way it works. I was reading about this over the weekend. The timing of this is that a lot of teams, they begin their draft prep. They've got scouts telling, you know, them what they do. They've got a draft board, but they don't really start to hone in and finalize until you start things like combine, pro days, and top 30 visits. And if the Falcons had any clue that they were going to fall in love with Michael Penix Jr., they would have never spent $100 million on a quarterback. It's completely insane for anybody to think that they did the right thing there. They did it completely ass backwards. And I don't know, it creates a very interesting situation in Atlanta. All right, we're done for the day. Chris Russell's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.